Sitting on a bucket with a fishing pole. I'm dropping a line through an icy hole. I know you're down there.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have the Grizz all the way from La Paz, Baja California, sir. And we have a very special guest. We have Joe Meehan with American Tackle Company, and as he just explained, American Tackle Company are the people that make all of the parts for all the high-quality rods and other products, but you don't recognize the brand because he sells to the manufacturers. But they did, I guess it wasn't just you, Joe, came up with a product that just won the award at the ICAST show just recently in Las Vegas, which is by far and away the biggest. It's not a consumer show. It's a trade show where all of the manufacturers display their wares. And, you know, to be able to get the best in anything on that is difficult to do. So, Joe, just mention real quick what that was and what the product is and how it works.
Well, we won for best accessory, which is quite an honor because there was many, many products that qualify for that. It is an invention by Doug Hannon, which I mentioned previously, and it's concentric rings on the first guide closest to the reel, which we call the stripper guide. It is a 20-millimeter ring. And we have a secondary ring, almost like a funnel effect, with the size 6 ceramic ring right behind it. What it does is it tames line. It takes the spooling off the reel, whether in this case it's spinning, which I'm discussing right now. We also have it in casting, but the spinning is very effective. It tames the coils that come off the reel, shoots the line straight from the secondary guide all the way up the rod. So any energy lost at the stripper guide is gained up the rod, and you have a plus effect of longer casts, quieter casts, much less vibration. A much lighter guide train. It's half the weight of a concept guide train and a fraction of the weight of a traditional cone of flight guide train.
Joe, I'm sorry. If people want to go to AmericanTackleCompany.com and look
it's
at that.
AmericanTackle.us.
Okay, .us. Anyway, I've been there, and let me try and explain it in more layman's terms. Normally,
sure.
The first guide on the reel has a very large ring, especially on a spinning
right.
rod. And then following farther down is a smaller guide, and they progressively get smaller. But what you do is the first guide is actually kind of like a two-piece. It's got a very large circle, and then immediately goes down to a very small guide, and then from there the line stays straight all the way out through.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, why do that, and does it work? Most of the manufacturers, from what I can tell, that manufacture things for fishing, they're more interested in catching the angler than the fish. But,
right.
But does it really work?
You know, we're most rod designers are still, it's changing, but they're still building rods for the stiff monos that we marketed back in the 70s and 80s, and there was traditionally a large guide train, big oversized guides, guides to accommodate a stiff coiling monofilament. And we discovered that the trade discovered over a period of time that you didn't need those large rings because the monofilaments were getting better, softer. And then you had the advent of braid and fluorocarbon. So really, rod technology is just catching up with line technology. You no longer need the big clunky guides. You can tame line with much smaller guides.
Well,
so what we did was mm-hmm. we basically encompassed the entire guide train in the first guide. And these new braids allow you to do that in fluorocarbons, and it works for mono as well. It shoots the line straight, which accelerates the cast up the rod, giving you greater distance, a quieter, smoother feel, and you can focus more on accuracy by backing off on the power of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
You can get equal distance than you would with a real power cast with a conventional guide set. You can back off the power and focus more on accuracy, okay, which is key.
Right. Joe, Grizz, I know, is very involved not only in fishing, but in fishing rods. He might have a couple of questions for you or some comments.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm always interested in the new guides. It's to keep up with the lines opposed to keep up with anything else out there, because this all this, like you mentioned, the braided line and the mono has even changed, and the fluorocarbon. So I think you guys are doing a great job, and that's where we need to go, because everything is actually changing because of the lines, isn't it, Joe?
It is. It's driving rod design to greater heights than ever before. The lines are just so much better. Monofilament is better. The braids are better. It really is changing the way we design rods. And to take advantage of line technology, this guide system is the perfect answer for getting the most advantage out of modern braids.
Since American Tackle manufactures the equipment, if someone's interested in this, where can they find it? As a finished product.
We don't sell the public direct, right, but if they get on americantackle.us and pull up any of our dealers, we have Seeker out in California that distributes our product, Angler's Workshop up in Washington, Mudhole Tackle in Florida, Jan's, Versatex, all these at Cutrate, Fishing Tackle Unlimited in Houston. Mm-hmm. If you get on our website, they're all listed there.
Great.
Under our dealer
okay.
tab.
Well, I would suggest people look out for that. And could you, we've only got about a minute left, but while you're at the ICAST show, can you comment on maybe some of the new products that you found interesting that we should be looking forward to?
The one that caught my, the segment that caught my eye the most is the new sonar that's out there, with the 360 view. It is just incredible. It's going to change the way we fish. It's going to make us more productive. It's incredible, the advent of what is going on in the next generation of sonar. It's going to make us all better fishermen. There's a number of new rods that are out that really impressed me. One of them was the Syntrex rod from Hardy Gray's high-end, the new 3M material, nanocarbon, nano-resins. It's lighter, stronger, faster. It really is a tremendous rod, as well as the Scott Fly Rod, the Radiant.
Hey, Joe, if you get a chance, go over to the Eagle Claw booth and check out those new rods, the new Baja series.
Some Baja series, yeah.
Yeah, I put those together for them.
Those guys have really stepped up their game over there.
Well, I told them if they wanted me to be the representative of Mexico, they better.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they've really done it.
But check out their new rods and that 4-foot, 6-inch rod that's coming out this year.
Well, wow.
Joe, we're going
to check that out.
Yeah, we're going to have to let you go back, but I think we're going to bring you back in again. And thanks for that tip on the sonar. Just real quickly, so you're looking at one view instead of having it kind of go in a circle? In other words, you just look at, like, looking at a map as opposed to, you know, like we see on the top of ships where
you're looking
for airplanes.
You're reaching out beyond the gunnels of the boat areas that you'll be casting into,
Joe,
and you can get images of fish.
Perfect. Joe, we're going to have to let you go, Joe. And you're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John. Lake Cochuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Cochuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040, 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara. Cochuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
Strike baits catch more fish. Formulated from years of research and development, our dough baits trigger the instincts of fish to strike. Packaged to eliminate air that drives the bait out, the tube means you never have to put your finger in the bait. One squeeze loads your hook with state-of-the-art attractants for even the most elusive trout. Engineered and made in the USA, visit strikebaits.com. Strike baits, the next generation of trout baits.
Bad day fishing is better than a good day at work.
To Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we also have the Grizz on the line from La Paz, and we have a very special guest. We have Anders Halvorsen, who is the author of The Entire Synthetic Fish, and we've had him on before talking about trout, and it's very interesting because there is a lot that people don't know and understand about the differences in species and different types of fish. And I think Anders might even want to talk about that a little bit. But let's go ahead and bring Anders on. And we also have the Grizz on the line with us. And Anders has a subject that's maybe a little bit controversial. So let's just jump right into it, Anders.
Sure. So as of, there's a company in Massachusetts called Aqua Bounty, which has created a genetically modified Atlantic salmon. It's got DNA from a Chinook salmon in it and DNA from a pout. So it's got the DNA from three different species in it. And this fish grows to market size in 1.5 years instead of the 3 years that a normal Atlantic salmon would take. And they have been trying to get approval for this fish to sell it here in the United States in the supermarket for many, many years, and we're in the end game right now. The FDA last fall said that they could see no public health issues with this fish and that they could see no environmental issues, that this fish was almost certainly not going to escape from the facilities where they were raising it, so that there's no environmental issues from this genetically modified fish either. They had comment period on that decision this spring, and now we are just waiting for the FDA to give its approval. And if it does, this will be the first genetically modified animal ever in our food chain.
Okay.
And it's been very, very controversial.
Well, it certainly is.
Like we don't need to fish anymore. We can fish. And one way I like it, because now you should be able to do the catch and release thing and not kill everything and have to take it home. On the other way of looking at it, we're turning fish into cows. Because basically that's what a cow is, you know, something that has been changed and worked around, whether it be a milk cow or beef to eat. So it looks like we're going to do the same thing with the fish then. Is that where it's going?
It certainly seems that way, and maybe we've already gone there. You know, Atlantic salmon have been raised in pens for a long time, so I'm not sure how different they are. From my perspective, you know, I think I'm satisfied. Troublingly, you can't get access to a lot of the science that the FDA used to make that decision because it's considered proprietary information. But let's give the FDA the benefit of the doubt and say that they're right. What troubles me is I think people may have other reasons for objecting to these fish. They may have emotional reasons. They may have religious reasons that they don't think it's correct to genetically modify a sentient being. They may have ethical reasons. And there's no place for those sort of thoughts or comments in this process. It has to be, as far as the FDA is concerned, they are only willing to consider whether there's a public health aspect or an environmental aspect to it.
Well, I agree 100%. I mean, let's raise fish to eat and catch fish to release.
So are you supporting then the creation of the genetically modified?
Of course
fish
I am. As long as they don't get out into the wild, and we keep them controlled, it's the same as a cow. A cow doesn't crossbreed with a deer.
Okay.
You know,
I don't disagree. But what I would propose is one of the big issue now that's going to come up is whether these things should be labeled. And I strongly feel that they should be labeled because I think people ought to have a
labeled. What do you mean by labeled?
They actually want to eat these things or spend their money on it.
When they're sold, Grizz.
Oh, okay, yeah. Like in a can?
Right. Hopefully.
Yeah, they're not going to put a tag on them when they're swimming around.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you mean?
When they're sold in the supermarket.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Anders, a couple of questions that I have for you. When they build nuclear power plants, there's never supposed to be an issue. And normally there's not. But if there is, and what would happen if the genetically modified fish do get introduced into the wild, can they breed with the other salmon? And is there any negative aspects to that?
Yes, they can. So, you know, they've got all these safeguards in place. They say that the fish that they're going to, first of all, they're going to spawn them in Prince Edward Island in Canada and then bring them down to Panama to raise them. The idea is if they escape in Panama, they'll never survive the warm water, so that they'll die down there. And further, that they'll, you know, heat shock them or something so they're sterile fish. So even if they do escape, they can't breed. But, you know, we all saw Jurassic Park, right? I mean, things go wrong and things escape. So they say there's no chance they will. But if they do, yes, and assuming they're not sterile, yes, they could potentially breed with Atlantic salmon. And I saw an interesting study that said that those fish will grow even faster than the genetically modified fish, maybe because these genetically modified fish are so inbred, they've got some problems. But if that were to happen, you would rapidly have, you know, maybe the destruction of wild Atlantic salmon stocks because these fish might get out there and interbreed with them, and then it turns out ultimately that whatever genes they've introduced are detrimental to the population as a whole. So there's a whole slew of potential issues if a fertile one of these fish were to escape.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are the advantages of the genetically modified fish, and is there anything about it that would be different as far as a food? Is there anything that could affect the people or whatever eats it or the fish that eat it?
The FDA has concluded no, that there is nothing detrimental about it, that it's substantively identical to a conventional Atlantic salmon as far as your health is concerned.
Okay.
The advantage is that they grow twice as fast.
Mm-hmm.
They eat more, but they use, you know, a fraction fewer resources. They have to eat a little bit less to achieve the same size as a regular Atlantic salmon. So you mm-hmm. could argue that there is an environmental benefit because they're using less, you know, less resources to create the same amount of meat.
And as far as once they're mature, are they about the same size? Is the only advantage in the time it takes them to reach full size?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so basically they would look and act the same. There's not some kind of a monster fish that we can go fishing for.
Right.
Okay.
So not right now.
I mean, I guess for me that's the other thing is there. This is just one case, but you know, this is just the foot in the door, and you know, if this goes through 50 years from now, there's going to be dozens and dozens of genetically modified fish and other animals out there, and that's the road we're going down. I think it's worth considering if we don't want to go there, now may be the time to make that decision.
Mm-hmm. Well, I predict that 50 years from now, of course, I won't be around to see it. Well, who knows? With modern medicine, amazing things can happen. But 50 years from now, almost all of these things will be commonplace. It's just a matter of how you get there. And obviously, there's a tremendous amount of good that's happening, you know, using the DNA or genes from to help us in science and growing things. And I guess, you know, the downside of this particular fish that you're talking about would be the remote possibility that it could spread its DNA or genes into the wild fish. And if that did happen, it could affect them because, you know, they'd have some of the characteristics. They just grow real fast. Other than that, is there any other detriment to the natural fishery?
That's the only one that I know of. Mm-hmm. So the only other issues that I, you know, can think of are other sort of less rational, they're not necessarily what we'd call rational concerns. They're more maybe ethical or moral concerns about what you want to be doing with the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm satisfied with them, but I think other people ought to have a choice about whether they want to spend their money to support that. And that's why I think these things should be labeled. And that's a very controversial issue. You know, it was struck down in California, this idea of labeling GMOs, just last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's one in the federal and Congress that's being considered, and other states are considering it. But that's mm-hmm. the hot topic these days.
Right. We all know that there's a tremendous amount of genetically modified foods available, but this is the first one that's actually, you know, used in an animal. And the genetically modified foods, you know, they've been around, and they're certainly not going away.
They don't seem to be, not in this country. You know, interestingly, that's why the companies that create the genetically modified foods are so opposed to any form of labeling, because in Europe, where there is a labeling law, they've failed to get any traction whatsoever. People are just so scared or mm-hmm. opposed to GMOs that they won't buy them.
Okay.
You know, there is that concern.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I guess it's fair, whether it's true or not. I think it's certainly fair that people know what it is that they're buying.
Yeah. Well, who knows? I expect, there's already people playing around with fish. You know, there was a group in Missouri, and this is for sport fishing. They were playing around with feeding them creatine, which is that bodybuilding supplement, the same bodybuilding supplement that
mm-hmm.
Mark McGuire used in the Home Run Derby.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Feeding those to rainbow trout for the express purpose of making a rainbow trout that would fight harder for
mm-hmm.
fishermen.
Right.
So you have to imagine that you know that will be next. We will be cat, and you can buy genetically modified fish for your fish tank now that glow in the dark.
Okay. Oh no.
So you have to imagine that if this that 50 years from now, I bet you there will be you'll be able to go fishing for genetically modified fish, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Right. Well, it's it's on the cutting edge, and you heard it here first. But, you know, whether or not or how soon it happens, and, you know, there's a lot of people that use more than just science to base their opinion. So we'll see how that works out. But you're always very interesting, and we're going to have you back again because we'd like to hear about the cutting edge and the real science behind fisheries.
Sounds great.
Okay, thanks. And your book is, we got to go real quickly, but it's
the book is called An Entirely Synthetic Fish.
An Entirely Synthetic Fish, but this is not necessarily about the salmon.
No, it's not.
Okay, all right, we appreciate that. And Grizz, you're going to stay tuned, and we're going to be right back with Fish Talk Radio.
West Marine covers Southern California with convenient locations for all your boating and fishing needs. The new superstore on Shelter Island in San Diego, nearly a block in length, has West Marine's largest saltwater fishing selection on the West Coast. This is the world's largest marine store, located one block from Shelter Island Drive at 1250 Rosecrans. Not only stocked to the gills, this is the ultimate. West Marine.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Goldfish, muskie, rainbow, brook trout, brown trout, steelhead, catfish, dogfish, wolfish.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and of course we have the Grizz on the line with us. And right now we're going to go to Terry, who is up at Lake Comanche, and let's see if we can find out a little bit about Lake Comanche. And Terry, why don't you just kind of give us an idea about the beautiful place you live.
Okay, well, we're located in Central California, about an hour south of Sacramento, about 2 hours east of San Francisco, going up into the foothills. We're only 500 feet elevation, so it's not too hard to get up here. Fishing has really been great out here. Right now, they're catching limits on trout. Catfish and bass are also being reported. The lake level is holding at 60, like at least the next couple of weeks here. Looks like warm, clear weather.
I got a question. Why is it called sure. Lake Comanche?
You know, there used to be a town here that was the town of Comanche, and when they flooded it to create the larger lake, because it was a river that went through here, the McCollumy River, then they just called it Lake Comanche.
Is it have anything to do with the Indians, the Comanche Indians?
It's not. It's even spelled different. Instead of C-O, which would be like the Indians, it's C-A.
Oh, okay.
C-A-M-A-N-C-H-E.
Okay. Now, Terry, are you telling us that there's a town underneath the lake?
That's what I'm telling you.
That means there's a cemetery and everything under
well,
there.
Well, Grizz, let's not go there. I'm sure they took care of that. But
Very common that. I fish a lot of those places where they actually do have the cemeteries and the town and the church and everything right under the water.
Well, that makes an interesting structure for sure. How deep is the lake, Terry?
Well, in some locations, it's over 150 feet. Mm-hmm. We do still have the McCollumy going through the middle of us, so you know, some areas are less deep, but the majority of the middle of the lake is at least 150 feet. Mm-hmm.
And it's a great place for a lot of reasons. First of all, it's a great fishing lake, and just for recreation. Tell us about the facilities if someone wants to come and visit you.
Well, you know, the lake is large enough for everybody to bring out whatever kind of fishing or boating they want to do. You know, we have wakeboarding and, kayaking up the river.
Mm-hmm.
We have all kinds of camping. We have RV camping with full hookups or dry camping. We have over 500 sites, dry camping sites. We even have cottages on both sides of our lake. We have a North Shore and a South Shore with marinas on both sides and stores on both sides for all of your boating and camping needs.
52. Well, how do we get in touch with Terry?
Well, for more information regarding us, you can call us at 866-763-5121. Or you can check us out on our website at ComancheRecreation.com. And remember that C-A-M-A-N-C-H-E, recreation.com. Or check us out at Lake Comanche on our Facebook page.
Cool. And also...
Yeah, you can see all kinds of pictures of fishing and everything else, campgrounds and all.
There you go. Also, you can go to the front page of Fish Talk Radio, and I think your link is there. So be a great way to stop by in the summertime. Terry, thank you very much. And you know, if anybody's out there listening and they stop by, say hi to Terry.
Thanks, Terry. It was great.
Okay. Now, we are going to move down a little bit to Channel Island Sport Fishing, which covers the Santa Barbara Channel and some fantastic fishing. We have Megan on the line with us right now. Megan, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, cool. It's so good to talk to you.
Hi, Megan.
Now, Megan, the Cisco's, or Channel Island Sport Fishing, is, you know, probably one of the largest fleets in... I'm thinking it's probably north of San Diego because you've got a lot of boats in that landing. How many do you have?
We have 13 boats in our fleet.
Okay. And the great thing about is that you are on the doorstep of the Santa Barbara Channel Islands and the Santa Barbara Channel, which is a very interesting area because it's kind of the dividing between the cold water and the warm water. And we actually have sometimes salmon from Northern California, king salmon and silvers. And then every once in a while we get some of the warm water fish out of south. But right now, give us an idea of what kind of fishing is going on.
Right now it's been off and on. We're starting to get into some more topwater fish. Kind of slowed down the past week, but it's starting to pack up with sea bass, yellowtail. A lot of calico bass are starting to hit. A few barracuda, some halibut, along with your rockfish.
Okay, and give us the white sea bass. Of course, they kind of come and go, and that's always exciting. But you actually are getting some of those on some of the party boats, and the halibut, of course, are not the Alaskan halibut. They're the Pacific. They're the California halibut, but they're a lot of fun to catch. They don't get to be 300 pounds, but give us a quick tip on where you catch those.
The halibut, I mean, it ranges anywhere from fishing coastal waters all the way over the island. Most of our average size fish have been anywhere from 20 to about 55 pounds this year.
Okay. That's a nice fish. Nice halibut.
Mm-hmm. And the range of things, when you go out on the sport fishing boats, you have the option, depending on certain times of the year. Normally you have rockfish, which can be, they've been some great lingcod this year, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
Okay, so you've got there's some of the great rockfish, including the lingosauruses, because they look prehistoric, and the halibut and the topwater fish. So, and just being out on the boat and being able to view the national park at the Channel Islands is worth the fare in the boat anyway. So give us an idea if someone is interested in going one of the premier fishing locations in California, Channel Island Sport Fishing. How do they get in touch with you?
They can contact us by phone, which is 805-382-1612, or they can check our website out at channelislandsportfishing.com.
Channelislandsportfishing.com. That's a pretty easy one.
Yes,
okay, and also you want to make sure that you give a call, because this time of the year it's been a little bit busy, but you've almost always got space. So give them a call and decide how big of a boat you want to take. Thank you, Terry. We appreciate that very much. Megan, I'm sorry, Megan. We just talked to Terry.
I'll
go
along with it.
No, Megan.
Megan. Don't let him do that to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes he calls me Paul.
Okay, Megan, anyway, great job. We appreciate that.
All right, thanks.
Okay. Grizz, we got a couple of minutes to kind of finish things up. But, let's kind of discuss just for a little bit the conversation we had with Joe and the modified Atlantic salmon. Because it's, as we say, it's probably going to happen eventually. It's just a matter of how. Or should it? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I don't think that the people should play God. And whether you're religious or not, I don't mean that as that form. But everybody wants to get their hands in, and things aren't good enough. They want a cow to grow faster. They want a cow to give more milk. They want a chicken to lay more eggs. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, you know, what's everybody trying to do? They want to change the world for me. You know, the only thing is I want more eggs. I want the fish to grow faster. I want this. Come on. I mean, we got a beautiful nature. Why do we have to mess with it? Why? It's not a car to make it go faster or much or luxury. Those are things we make. But the things that are made by nature, why do we have to always stick our fingers in there and try to change things?
Well, Grizz, I can say that a lot of times when for what people do for the environment, the law of unintended consequences. A lot of times things that you do, you don't foresee what's going to happen later. And even controlling forest fires and national parks, they come to find out wasn't a good idea because for millions of years it was a natural occurrence and that was part of the process.
That's what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, but also, you know, there's, I don't know how much of a difference there is between, we mentioned natural selections. Things do change. And I guess what these scientists are trying to do is speed it up and push it their direction.
Exactly. They want to do it the way they want it to.
Mm-hmm.
They want a chicken to lay two eggs instead of one a day.
Mm-hmm.
They want in this case, an Atlantic salmon, grow twice as fast because nobody wants to wait.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's the hatchery, I think it's in Nebraska, that they raise the tailwalker fish, and I don't know if it's a particular strain. They're not genetically modified, but they're sure a lot of fun to catch because they are different than the trout. And I think they raise them in fast running water to make them strong.
Well, I don't know about that, but just look about the tilapia. Let's mm-hmm. look about the carp.
Okay.
Let's take those. They brought them in from India and all different places, and they put them in the waters, and they put them in the lakes. Now they got problems with them. We can't learn. Mm-hmm. We always got to be there, sticking our nose into everything and everybody, but we ought to leave nature alone. You know, I believe in conservation. I believe in hunting. I believe in fishing, but I do not believe in taking everything and change it. Look at the deer, the whitetail. It used to be to get in a record book, which is 160 points, was hard. Now they're breeding deer to 210. What's happened? Leave things alone. That's how I feel, John.
Okay. Well, that's what it's all about.
Without saying bad words.
Okay. Well, we're going to finish up this segment quickly. So let's get a quick idea from the Grizz. I know that you've been very, very busy doing some fishing, showing some people around down there, taking them fishing. And we'll mention again, hopefully you can join us in the beginning of November for our trip to East Cape. And how much we got? About 30 seconds. What's the fishing in East Cape like, real quick?
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Okay. That sounds good.
It's wonderful for everything. Everything is happening there.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great time of the year because the fishing is still good, but it's not quite as hot as it is in the summertime. You mentioned it was a little warm down there.
Yeah, 115 right now.
Ooh, that's, well, I guess that's where they have air conditioning and cold beer, right?
That's right.
Okay. All right. And we also, Grizz, can go to ASOB Online. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio.